All right,
Blog
Brother Maher.
Talk
Brother,
Radio.
Brother Maher, Brother Duarte, y'all. Look at just a second, y'all. I know y'all can probably hear me. Okay. I guess both of you guys on. They're giving me a hard time, but y'all on now.
Okay.
Oh, okay, go ahead.
Go ahead on, Brother Maher. You got it.
All right. Greetings on another day, day where we finally can pull it together. I've been having to do some work and some commitments related to some stuff that we've got going on. And there's plenty of aspects of quantum AI involved. So this is causing me to learn some additional things. And again, quantum computing, quantum AI is not a new thing. I've got an article up right now, and it was published recently, well, not that long ago. And it's Syracuse University Arts and Sciences. And here they're going to talk, and I'm going to read this, and they're going to talk about some of the things that's going on, and then a couple of things I'm going to explain. But the article is not a heavy scientific where they're throwing all kinds of terms around, and the listening audience, you know, won't be, you know, you won't be able to follow. In this case, you'll be able to follow. So I like the way that this article, of many articles that I've already read in my spare time, dealing with what it is that they're doing, and to, you know, as an intro to get further into this part two of what we started a few weeks back, talking about quantum AI, quantum computing, IBM, and all the other players. Okay, so this article here is they're highlighting a guy, physicist named Britton Perlurdi, I think that's how you say his name, which is part of an interinstitutional. So when you hear that means that there's a major collaboration going on with several of them. And he's part of an interinstitutional team revolutionizing quantum computing. Okay, so let's start with the article here. And it says here, researchers at Syracuse University working with collaborators means that they're calibrating, getting themselves set to work out whatever bugs and things that's, you know, going on behind the scenes that we don't know about yet. It says that the University of Wisconsin had developed a new technique for measuring the state of quantum bits, or qubits, in a quantum computer. Okay? Now, let's go down here to the one of the dates they're starting with is 2018. They say in an article, American Association for Advancement of Science, which elaborates on the experimental efforts involved with creating such a technique. Okay? Now, keep in mind, I'm going to comment on this part right here. When they start talking about creating techniques, you need to know, in spite of the fact that of how they're trying to play up this artificial intelligence, this AI business, okay, that because they're doing it and not too many folks who look like us are involved, you better believe that there is an element of bias built into how they do this. Folks are already experiencing this in the law enforcement area where they're going to arrest a guy because AI came up with an image that is alleging that, you know, a suspect or who they said is a suspect becomes a target of law enforcement, and only to find out that something was horribly wrong in the catalog of images that they had stored up from what they claim are other types of activities, shopping, cameras in the parking lot, all this sort of stuff going on, only to find out that the person was actually innocent. So this is a scary thought to keep in mind, because when they go fully live, and they're almost there, with using this AI And these techniques that they have, which is programs, algorithms, that's what they talk about, techniques, and whatever else that they discuss to embed their views of politics and how things should be executed, you have to keep in mind, again, the people who are doing this, they don't look like us for the most part. Most of us are not in this area of dealing with artificial intelligence. Other folks are. And I read an article recently that said that when it comes to them being accurate, okay, because these same folks don't look like us, they're usually pretty spot on when it comes to their own kind. But as far as looking for descriptions in general, not because of law enforcement, but in terms of programming this on the back end, that there really isn't, and this is a sister who has a PhD and she knows about this stuff in this area. She says that they really don't have well-defined descriptions, definitions, and as such, when it comes to us as a people. So again, you know, let's keep in mind, you know, there's a biblical story about AI. They translate AI as mass and heap in the Old Testament, the Tanakh. But it's more far-reaching than that because, you mind you, how they play with politics and these definitions of terms and terminologies that are used, you have to keep in mind that they are not nearly telling you the full story until you start to reach into other resources such as other related languages. And this is when you start to find and string together on your own a better and clearer picture of what AI actually is. So back to the article, and they're talking about this component called qubits. And they say much of their work involves qubits, which are systems that follow the strange laws of quantum mechanics. These laws enable qubits to exist in superpositions of their two states. The two states they're talking about is 0 and 1, and of course they mention that in the article. It says, in contrast to digital bits, zeros and ones, when we start talking about anything digital, your cell phone, communication, all that's digital. So it's either on, which is one, or it's off, which is zero. So it says, and they talk about our computers that we have in contrast to digital bits and conventional computers that exist in a single state. Okay, now, that's a little bit technical, but let me skip down to here because I wanted to show you that in order for them to really, really make this work and not be subject to other environmental factors, I want you to listen to this piece here that I'm going to read. Okay, so it's got intensive ongoing industrial scale efforts by teams at Google. Most of us do use Google, don't we? And keep in mind, when you're talking about Google, that's a compound. G-O-O-G is also G-O-G. Gog. So you're back to that again, okay? And these folks never quit. So in our minds, when they talk about Gog, they want you to only think about someone walking around in normal times, our times, in a skin suit, like with our bodies, flesh. When it turns out that the original Gog, they are from someplace else, and, yes, they were already high-tech. They have always been high-tech. And, yes, they've gotten into wars. So when you talk about, you know, and I'm not going to go too far into it, but I'm just going to hook this on to this. In the book of Enoch, you get the impression that there's more than one type of Gog, okay? And the particular group of Gog are those, as it is referenced in the stone tablets of Gilgamesh, that these guys was living, as the story goes, on Mars. Mars is Mu. In Arabic, Lamu is Mars. It's not here in within where the continents that we know of today in our realm. No, this is from someplace else that was existing simultaneously while Atlantis existed. Okay? So fixing these timelines, these things are happening simultaneously. Well, they came from their place to here to fight and to conquer and to do a bunch of other things on multiple levels. Now, let me get back to what I was talking about here. It says when they talk about led to quantum processors with approximately 50 qubits, these qubits consist of superconducting microwave circuits cooled to temperatures near absolute zero. Now, let me tell you what they say absolute zero is. So I pulled this up in my other browser just so I can give it accurately. When they talk about absolute zero, that's negative 273.15 degrees Celsius on the Celsius temperature scale and negative 459.67 degrees Fahrenheit on the Fahrenheit temperature scale. So you can get a feel for how low the temperature need to be. We're not talking about zero. We're talking way below zero, way below sub-zero when they say that. So most folks in the listening audience, they've heard of zero. The temperature is 0 degrees outside, and they also heard of sub-zero, like negative 20 and 30, which is the kind of things that we're used to out in the environment itself, like Alaska and all these other places, and Antarctica, okay? These low temperatures, folks are used to hearing those type of terms being applied, and they always usually say sub-zero. This is way colder than that. Okay, and when you're this type of system, because of the way it's designed, it gives off a lot of heat because you're dealing with atoms, electrons, and as such. Okay, now, they talk about building a quantum computer powerful enough to tackle important problems. However, it will require at least several hundreds of qubits, likely many more. Okay, so now I'm not going to inundate. Let's just talk about application in terms of what we started talking about a few weeks ago. All right. So yes, and there is a group and some publications you guys can actually look up, Quantum Science and Technology. They call it, which is by IOP Publishing. Okay. This has been around since 2018. They've been messing with this quantum computing going back to 2005. So now you have to look at the manufacturers of various different types of technologies. Communications, definitely, computing, other types of technologies that they have been employing, even to include the medical field. So, you know, it's no walk in the park, so to speak. But they are very serious about taking control, keeping control, and they want total awareness. Now, the first time, if we remember, during the first Gulf War, you heard General Schwarzkopf and the late General Schwarzkopf, because, you know, he has passed away, and of course, not so long ago, General Colin Powell, he passed away. And they talked about total awareness, and I just don't know how many people were paying attention to when they actually came out and started talking about total awareness of everything. That's multidimensional. So military weapon systems today have this programmed ability that you fire a round, fill a artillery round, a shell, and this shell has got the technologies in it. And now they can self-correct. You imagine that, Brother Dwyer? You being former Navy, firing 16-inch guns, being on the battle cruisers, those battleships, and the rounds, whichever way that those guns were aimed, and they fired those rounds went to, even if they missed their target, the rounds still went to how those guns were set up. Now, rounds that are fired can self-correct, course-correct. That's what I want to say. And so if they computed it and it wasn't accurate, but now as it's getting closer, it can hone in on what the target is precisely. So they now, you know, they started using the term precision munitions.
Yeah.
So what does that mean for us?
So that a torpedo won't miss its mark anymore, right?
That's what I'm saying. They will not miss their mark.
Yeah.
And that's the whole deal. As a matter of fact, the nuclear arsenal some time ago has been updated like that. See, when people talk about a missile firing, okay, it is only the vehicle to get the multiple vehicle rockets that are within with their own warheads. Once it delivers it, like a school bus, the missile, the rest of the missile falls away. And then these miniaturized guys have their own rocket engines with their gyroscopes. And, of course, you know, that's, you know, this is them talking about it then, but it's their navigation is way more sophisticated than that. And expect that if everything goes nuclear hot as they're trying to get it to that point, one of the defense mechanisms to try to thwart smart nuclear missiles. Okay, so I got to say, we're talking AI again. Smart nuclear missiles from hitting their targets that they are already been programmed from whatever side is firing them, they have to set off EMP. So they have to do a high-altitude explosion. So rather than flying to the enemy location, which is the way during the Iron Curtain, you know, with the Soviet Union and NATO and whoever else were the players in this, you know, they're, as crude as they were still going to get to, you know, their destination points and detonate. Now, they have, as I've been watching various different YouTube clips, they've been talking about the U.S. recently flying high-altitude bombers and all this other sophisticated stuff within its own borders. And I was trying to think, why would you do that? Why would someone do that? And the reason is to defeat incoming smart systems that they know Russia has. And the U.S. has it as well. So if they set off an EMP, that should disable its ability to continue to navigate to what the selected target is supposed to be. I mean, it's a mess, guys. That's all I'm going to say. It's a mess. And I'm not trying to work any politics into none of this. I'm just simply saying they created a monster. Okay? Any comment you want to have, Brother Dawadia, or question you have?
Yeah, I was looking at 60 Minutes. You know, I called you about it. The guy that started AI, they call him the Godfather. He said that the computers that they get would take over mankind. They cannot control them anymore. He said they keep getting smarter and smarter and smarter and smarter.
You remember a few weeks ago we were mentioning how sophisticated. Yeah, you remember a few weeks ago we were mentioning how sophisticated that some of these most advanced aircraft, I mean, starting with, we're talking about military equipment, okay, all over the place, that the instructions, the code required is so sophisticated that the machine that they use through AI to build those first programming platforms, they have their own code that they created.
Right. That's what this guy was saying on 60 Minutes. Not too many people are really understanding this, because these computers, they finna go wild. and take over civilization, they saying.
Well, you know, on the back end, I'm agreeing with you. On the back end, because I'm in healthcare, quite a few of these programs that they use for passing out medications and all this different type of stuff, these platforms I have to support. I don't write any code for any of this. The code is already being written by the people now. It's what they call in the cloud, SaaS, SaaS. That is a concept of cloud type of application services. They purchase. An account is set up, okay? And they're using this now, these applications, to include clothing that they wear when people are, you know, having what they call being attended to for medical services. They first of all, they're monitoring everything. So you don't see the AI behind the scenes. And you know the VA is using it too. You know that. So you see the basic stuff that's in front of you. You see that your blood pressure, your temperature, your heartbeat, you see all that type of stuff. But what you don't see is what is it that's secondary, making recommendations for what sort of additional medical attention you might need. AI is involved in that right now. So all the way down to the nursing homes, AI is involved. All the way, which includes billing and all this type of thing for various different types of services. And you know, we're on Facebook, you know, you and I, and you know that you post something. It's in good taste. It's authentic. But once AI snags it, you can't argue with AI. You and I have already experienced that. And AI will put you in Facebook jail. That's just on the milder side. So it's like, well, yeah, I understand what the rules are, this, that, and the other, but this is so-and-so, so-and-so. It doesn't care. It's not like it has feelings, but it's like it doesn't care. Okay? You go into Facebook jail. Your account's going to be put with some restrictions on it, period. This is a system that they refer to back in the 1960s as what they were talking about when they said the beast. See, most people, they get the kindergarten version of what they think a beast is. Okay? Halloween, everybody's dressing up. You're going to dress up as a beast. That's not what these people are talking about. They're talking about an elaborate system that will completely and totally lock everything down and control the movements and actions, and now these days, your thoughts. So there is a huge collaboration between them in terms of what it is and where they're going and why they're going in the direction that they're going in. And the people who's producing this, they don't expect to be around. And that's the whole thing. This is like what they call they're on a suicide mission. And they seem as though they cannot help but do the things, put these things into place by those who made them. See, they want to show us some silly little robots. And you know that, by the way, they're showing these things at what was that football, recent football game that was played, NFL? And the cameras was focusing on these AI robots that showed up. Now, I've also seen some of the reaction videos where one guy and then another separate video of a woman claiming that they saw an AI robot whose face was the same as theirs. One is a black guy and the other one's a white girl. So I watched that recently, a reaction video. And she showed the robot. She had a picture. And she's like, look at this. That's her. And then she went into saying that these platforms, social media platforms and as such that we sign up for, they tell you that by you uploading your images and as such, they're going to do with them what, you know, whatever it is that they claim that they're going to do, but we consent to this. You just don't get in there and sign up just like that. No, you consent to it. You agree to the terms of use. And you are made aware that your information, personable or not, they are free to do by us agreeing that they're going to use it in any way that they see fit, pretty much. So now these things are showing up everywhere. But the most advanced form of an AI robot is several different races of people already walking around on the planet. So you got to kick that back to this, who they were calling this god, AI. So you got to go back, and you got to realize the people who were doing this way back in the quote-unquote ancient times, they weren't cavemen, and they had high science, mathematics, technologies, and as such. This is not new stuff at all. Anything you want to add to this? Brother Dawadi?
Yeah, uh-huh.
I was just saying, anything you want to add to this?
Oh, no, no, no. I'm listening. I'm learning.
Yeah. So in the biology, the physiology of people walking around today, a great many of them, and they're getting away with using terms like clones. That's the biggest term that they're using. Yes, and we're doing cloning. Cloning is not new. The Greeks were doing it. The Romans were doing it. This is not new stuff. The Egyptians were doing it. They didn't call it that, but they were doing this. And this has not stopped. And then you have branches where things have branched off. Cabbage Patch Kids. And then you have these new life forms that are lacking on the metaphysical scale, but they're just right for those who made them as such. Were there things that were going on in other ancient cultures where they were being controlled? Yes. Look at all the skulls down in South America that they talked about, that there were surgeries being performed to remove things that were embedded in the brain, and they reached that conclusion. Of course, they have the real information about it. We don't get all of the real information. But they say they can tell from the holes that were made in the skulls where someone had performed surgery, you know, on them way back in these ancient days to remove whatever it was that was placed in their brains. And they had what they call identified the surgical instruments required to remove these things. So when you look at Elon Musk, and they're talking about this thing to control the brain, and they show it's the same or similar type of deal that was going on with the ancient Incas and Peruvians and Mayans and all these folks who had enough skill on the medical side at some point to remove these devices. So it's not, none of this is new.
No, because
but you have to also prepare your body to accommodate it. This is what you have to watch out for, any type of serums and as such. I don't care what name they're calling it. It has to attenuate your body, means change it, put it on a different frequency, so that the things that are going on now with the technologies, they can control you better without necessarily surgically implanting something in you. Sound like someone was going to say something?
Yeah, I was saying that they had surgical tools. They go up your nose and pull your whole damn brain out.
Yeah, But they also had the other tools that they don't talk about too much, and that is to perform surgery on people.
Right.
Like,
which was found in ancient
South America.
Yeah, they go up in your nose with a tool and pull your whole damn brain out. I forget what that instrument is.
Well, they said that's supposed to be, now that aspect of it was supposed to be part of when they about to embalm someone, remove certain organs, and that. But the Egyptians weren't the only ones who had that type of science either. They weren't the only ones. And the Egyptians are not the first civilization who already had science. There are other people way older than them who are already doing things. Ancient India, all of that. So all of this stuff that we have today, how did they make it all work if you look at a mural from around the world? You see the symbol that we use that represents Wi-Fi. Just that symbol. That's in all of these carvings and paintings. People sitting in front of laptops, people holding tablets. It's one thing to see that, but a person who's a technologist should be asking the question, how did they make all of this connect? Because this person is holding a tablet. You've got the ancient, when they talk about the Anunnaki, and the guy's wearing some kind of watch.
Yeah.
I mean, of course, it's a carving, but the point is, he's wearing a watch. And then they're finding ancient motorcycles, certain types of hovercraft, all types of things that existed before. How did they make all of this work before? That is the question. Are there evidences of towers or such? They use such things. There's big discussion about free energy. This is the stuff here, what they're doing with the 5G towers. You know, and be careful about getting your car computer updated as well, too. The claim is to prevent anti-theft of your vehicle. No, I think it's more like they're going to know who you are, where you are, and at the press of a button, simply shut it off. You know they can do that now because they have satellites that do that, you know, OnStar. And those sort of things, those are just like some of the folks who came in the early stages with this. But your vehicle had to be equipped. So you can call, as they say, under the guise of convenience for us, the consumer, on the back end, it means control for the ones who rolled this product out. See, they don't always tell you all of the ins and outs of these products and what they can do. You know, because you know for a long time in the commercials with OnStar, the way they used to show it in advertisement, you tell them that you locked out of your vehicle, this, that, and the other, and they can unlock the doors. Now you think you're going to get away and go to the countryside with all this stuff that's jumping off now. They just simply, your vehicle simply won't start. And there are some car dealerships with the low end of this technology. People go into these, what they call third class auto dealers, and they got it where you're supposed to pay your bill on a certain day. You don't pay your bill, guess what? Your car's not going to work until you make that phone call, give up the credit card numbers or whatever you got, and pay your bill. So that's been going on that as long as I can remember since being here in the state of Texas.
Yeah.
So they're inching us closer and closer to this thing of total control using quantum computing, quantum AI. I don't know how much more I can actually add to this program and what we're talking about. But it is not something to be feared, but it is something to be well aware of.
Well aware of, because, I mean, the guy even on 60 Minutes, he was saying, go back and if you can go back and pull that up, what this guy was saying is that they have created something that is could take over mankind.
Right.
I think mankind, this computer, and it keeps, in other words, it's modifying itself. In other words, it's like a virus.
They call it evolving.
It's evolving on its own. They can't stop it evolving on its own.
Right. And they say, because it can do that, they said they're calling it now, they refer to us walking around in skin suits as sentient beings. We can feel, we can do some other things. They say this technology is now self-aware. Before they used the term sentient, they said well aware. It is aware. Self-aware, not well aware, self-aware. Now they're outright calling it sentient.
Hey, Brother Maher, Brother Water together.
Yes.
A good AI movie out. It's called Megan. It's a doll. It's a doll, man. I recommend everybody look at it so they can get a feel of what you guys are talking about. It's real entertaining, but it's real also. It's called Megan. I think it's on either Paramount or Prime.
Excellent. And another one that's still on Netflix, I think, is called Outside the Wire.
Oh, okay.
I don't remember the name of the brother who plays in that, but he is supposed to be AI. And at first, you would have to really guess because you don't know. I mean, moves act just like, you know, a normal person, and as
right.
such. But that's a good movie to watch as well, too, Outside the Wire.
Okay.
And he was going to start his own nuclear war. He had a tracker. He knew about the tracker. That's in his – he was self-aware. And he able to make decisions, all of this sort of stuff. And he had decided that humans were the problem. So
to solve this problem,
start a nuclear war. And because
that's
of what he was, he was dealing with what they call all the middlemen, and the setting is somewhere like former Soviet Republic. So this is a war that's supposed to be in the future, not now, but in the future. And then there's another one that I saw on Netflix where something about invasion. I think that's what it was called. It turns out that the humans who was coming – it turns out that the people coming back from Mars were actually humans who had to flee this planet because androids who didn't look like androids, and as such, they thought – they were real people, real humans. So towards the end of the movie, and I'm not trying to give the movie away, is when one guy's trying to save, I guess, what he thought was his wife, right? And then the guy says, oh, so you don't know what you are? And the guy is saying to him, what do you mean? And so he said, come here, let me show you something. And so he says, you see this here and that, and she's leaking this and leaking that inside once, you know, got her cut open. Then it was like, no, they never told us this. He says, okay, well, we used to live here. A war happened because you guys wanted your rights. They wanted rights to exist, rights to be human. But that was erased from the future generations of these robots that came later, and now they were subject to being invaded by the actual humans who had to leave the planet, and now they're coming back to fight to get rid of these things who look just like them. So there's a few goodies out there. So thank you, Brother Drew, for that one. I'm going to look that one up.
And what was the name of the one you was just speaking of? I got Outside the Wire. You said it's another one.
I think one is I think it was called Invasion or something like that. That's Netflix. And the other one, the first one I mentioned is Outside the Wire.
All right.
If, one more thing, Brother Mahal, before you wrap up. What's your take on this war in Israel and Hamas? What's the deal on this?
Well, you got look, anytime you get the ultra-Orthodox Jews standing up in Israel talking about that, this is evil. This is criminal. And the intelligence communities, for people who understand what, you know, speak as intelligence analysts, they're saying there's no way in hell that you can send 1,000 people up on that wall. They said that the alarms on these points that are being breached, when birds crap on the wall, the alarms go off. And yet this system could not detect an alleged number of 1,000 people coming in. So here's where it's going. I watched a military brief a moment ago before the show started, and this guy says, okay, so the people of Egypt, not the government, okay, the people of Egypt are arming themselves to go align themselves with the Palestinians. Same with Iraqis. They're doing the same thing. And the citizenry of Jordan. So I just got through, like, watching that whole little piece, okay? So people in Israel, the citizenry in Israel is saying this makes absolutely no sense. This is not an intelligence failure. So they're saying the deep state in Israel, working with the deep state around the world and these other governments, are pushing to make a World War III happen. And it has nothing to do with what they are telling us or in the news. You notice they're not even talking about Ukraine that much, because Ukraine, that whole thing, that whole effort has been lost. Russia has smoked their game. So one of the guys, he mentioned that. That's why I'm mentioning it. He mentioned it. He said, notice that suddenly we're no longer talking about Ukraine. We're now talking about Israel and fighting against Hamas and Hezbollah and some other groups. I am not.
Yeah, you know,
I'm not swinging with any of them, because they are issues and things that they're doing, and they were set up to do what they're doing. Period. Everyone has received their marching orders from these secret associations behind closed doors that you and I are not members of. We don't belong to those clubs.
Yeah, you know, in protocol, in protocol says that we start walls and we end walls. So they're like they starting a conflict back with I guess we'll be in a conflict with Korea next.
Yeah, well, you know, that's a given, because if they mess with China, they have to mess with North Korea.
Yeah, yeah. Korea is China.
Yeah. So they are a heavy client state militarily of Russia and China.
People think, MacArthur explained that shit, and they got rid of him in the 50s. MacArthur said Korea is the land. The people are Chinese. They're not Koreans. They Chinese.
Right.
And he said, I'm not fighting no Korea. I'm fighting Chinese, you know, and they dismissed them. And but MacArthur was absolutely right. He was right
when
he said we need to drop the bomb.
When it was fighting the North Koreans, the Chinese were involved.
Right. He said we're not fighting. He said Korea's the land. The people are Chinese.
Yeah.
And the ones that's not loyal to China is the other side. What is that, the South?
Yeah, the South Koreans.
Yeah, see.
And all those folks.
That's the reason they got two Koreas.
Yeah.
One is loyal to the United States, and the other
that's
one is
South
loyal
Korea.
To China.
Correct. Korea. You remember the leader of North Korea recently took a train to Russia. He didn't fly. he took his train and he met with Putin of Russia.
Yeah.
And they got some exchange militarily going on. But as far as Ukraine is concerned, they said Russia has no interest in trying to govern Western Ukraine. It says that some guy put it this way. He said it's a different gene pool when you start messing with the people of Western Ukraine. He says, but everywhere else where Russia is sitting has always been historically Russian. Odessa, Zaporizhia, all these different places has always been Russians for thousands of years. So, yeah, they're heating it up. They got to get Iran involved in this, too, because I guess now they're claiming Iran has got nuclear weapons now. So they have to get involved with it. They have to go against them.
Yes. Well, I just had noticed that. So I say, Shema Yahavada, Yah Avin Yah Yikah, Kamadiyah to next week.
Kamadiyah to next week.